This is our children's moment. My name is Ben. I'm the youth minister here. If we have any young ones, kindergarten through fifth grade, that want to come up and have a seat up front here. Okay. Here in a moment, we're going to head back to junior church. But before that, I brought some stuff with me this morning. Let's see if I have a pitcher of water. See that here? I brought some stuff to pour it into, but I think you guys can see it without me doing all that. So, and I have an Easter egg, a plastic Easter egg. Now, if I take this Easter egg and I put it in the water, what's going to happen? Probably float, yeah? It does. Good job, guys. Everybody is past kindergarten. Good job. Yeah, it floats. And it floats because it has air in it, and it's lighter, sits on the top of the water, right? We can go into the science of it. I'm not going to, but I want us to remember that it's floating. There's a story in the Bible about Jesus and Peter. And Jesus had sent all his disciples in a ship onto a lake, and he spent some time alone with God. He was praying and spending time with his father, right? And while he was spending time with his father, the disciples were out on the water, and a storm comes up, and they're kind of afraid. And then they see somebody coming towards them, walking on the water. And they did what anybody would do. They got scared, right? And they thought it was a ghost. And so while they're there, Jesus assures them, it's me, I'm not a ghost, I'm walking on the water. And Peter says, oh man, I want to do that too. And so he gets, and Jesus says, all right, come on. And so he gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water toward Jesus. And then partway through, he starts taking his eyes off Jesus, and he starts looking around, and he sees the storm, and he sees the waves. And he immediately starts sinking. It's like if I took this egg and I crack it open and I let the air out and I close it back up, now it starts to sink, right? It doesn't go all the way in. I can do it one-handed now. And make everything more challenging, right? Yeah, they're kind of, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It goes under the water. It goes under the water, but Jesus stayed on top of the water. It begins to sink. And why does it sink? It's because the water gets into it, right? Because I let the air out and I let the water into it. The same was with Peter. He let that storm in. And he let all that stuff around him in. In our lives, when we let Satan's lies in, when he tells us we're not good enough, we're not worthy, you're not actually Jesus. You know, you're not God's child. You know, you're not, you know, you do all this bad stuff. When we do that, we let that storm in, we begin to sink. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do that he kept on top of that water? He just spent all that time with God. He was filled with the Spirit. Yes. And he was filled with the Spirit. And he was filled with all the things, all the truths of God and all the reality of God and all the belovedness. I know, it is water. He was filled with all that. And that's why we constantly harp on spending time every day being God's word, being filled with that time with him and that prayer, being filled with all that so that when we face those storms in life, they don't get in. Because they can't get in because it's so filled with other stuff that storm can't get in, and we can stay on top of the water. Right. With that, I guess I'm turning it over to you to talk about other stuff.
Good morning. I am here to introduce our speaker for the day. He He came here to help me in my operation, to take care of Mom while she took care of me. And when Fred found out about it, he said he wanted him to preach. His name is Nathan Ralston Taylor. I'll get it in a minute. Nathan Paul Tyler Ralston. Nathan was baptized here by Tom Franklin in 95, 96. He's gone to various mission trips, Ukraine, Mexico, and Cuba. He's lived as a missionary in Saltillo since 2003. And he's married to Erica. They got children, Larissa, David, and Nathanael. He preaches I'll get this one, Nathan, Ecclesia de Cristo El Salvador. Really? I know better than that. But anyway, we're so grateful to have him. He has a true servant's heart. Come.
My dad, as you know, has just had his surgery and doing his best, and it's really commendable that he's here this morning, and I know he didn't want to miss anything, so really thankful for that. Also, I'd like to thank Pastor Fred for the invitation to share a message here today from the Word of God. I hope Pastor Fred is enjoying a much-needed vacation. And hello, everyone. So, good morning. It's great to see you all again. Thank you for the wonderful support of the Lord's work in Saltillo, Mexico. We're so grateful for the blessing to be able to serve our Lord Jesus Christ alongside brothers and sisters in Mexico. Now, it's my understanding that you all have just concluded a series of messages focused on the book of Acts. Is that correct? Okay, good. We're on the same page. Interestingly, we have just come from a national convention in Mexico. So talking about conventions, we came from the National Christian Convention in Mexico, and it was also focused on the book of Acts. So, among other things, the book of Acts, or Acts of the Holy Spirit, if you prefer, is about the way of Christ lived through the church within the context of the Roman Empire. It documents a spirit-filled journey of Christ's followers as they go forth from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, even unto the ends of the earth in his name. And this book is very important because alongside all of Scripture, not only does it inform, but it also influences and begins to shape our way of thinking. It has that function upon us, upon our imagination of what is possible, and hopefully our way of actually living as followers of Christ, the Christian church, here today. Now, obviously, there's a lot in the book of Acts. We're talking about 28 chapters, plenty for a national convention, and a great sermon series. So to help complement and not repeat what has already been shared in today's message from the Word of God, I would like for us to focus on a similar story with a similar function, but from the Old Testament. This story in the Old Testament contains a lot of these same principles and will hopefully deepen our appreciation of what Fred has been preaching about, and more specifically, encourage us to think in a new way about how we may live faithfully together in Christ here as Garfield Christian Church. So, what does it mean to be God's people here in this context? What does God reflected through us look like? And how can God's word inspire our imagination, our way of thinking toward faithfulness in Christ as Garfield Christian Church? That is what we will explore together in today's brief message from the Word of God. Our message today is from the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. This is one of my favorites, often read at weddings, and key to the overall gospel narrative of God making all things right again in Christ Jesus. Now, as followers of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't just a message about something or someone that we admire or look upon from afar in the abstract. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about loving and following someone we have a personal relationship with, God in Christ. Reading and allowing God's word to influence us is one of the main ways that God transforms us into not only different, but distinct, a very distinct Christ-like type of people. And so the function of the Bible is to influence us, give us a new way of thinking, so that we become and live more like Christ. And when we live like Christ, that is what others see and are invited to also know and join in experiencing alongside, together with us. So, the book of Ruth. For those who don't know or may need a quick refresher, the book of Ruth takes place after Adam and Eve, after Noah and the flood, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses in Egypt, the wilderness, and then Joshua and the people of Israel conquering the promised land. If you remember the story of Rahab, the prostitute, hiding the spies and then the walls of Jericho falling down, the book of Ruth takes place about one generation after that. The people of God at this point in the biblical story have been organized according to which of the 12 sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, they were. So Benjamin's descendants over here, Ephraim's descendants over there, and so on. And the book of Judges records for us how this specific time period in the history of the nation of Israel was a pretty crazy time. Some awful, twisted things occurred. But this is also when the book of Ruth takes place. In the midst of all that potentially bad stuff, we have this very beautiful story. Again, as a refresher for some, perhaps new for others, at the beginning of the story, a woman named Naomi, her husband, and their two sons leave the promised land because there's a famine. And they go to a place called Moab. There, Naomi's husband dies. Each of her two sons falls in love and get married. But after they are married, both sons also tragically die. And this is just the first three verses of the book. So now, Naomi is outside of the promised land. Her husband is dead. Her two sons are dead. And she has a very difficult talk with her daughter-in-laws, understandably. She feels the weight of tragedy, so much so that she changes her name, Naomi, which means pleasant, to bitter. And she says to her daughter-in-laws, "I'm sorry. Go to your homes, and I'm going home too. One of her daughter-in-laws does just that. But Ruth, Naomi's other daughter-in-law, clings to her and responds, "No. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. And where you die, I will die as well. And there we will be buried together." And from that moment, the story becomes very interesting. What happens when we commit ourselves to loving God and our neighbors? What does that commitment do to us? Our relationship with God and how others, outsiders, are treated by us in the name of Christ. Now, remember, this story takes place in the time of the book of Judges, and there was some crazy, bad, twisted stuff going on in the land of Israel. But Naomi is returning to the Lord, knows the law of God, understands the law's real purpose, and what should happen as a vulnerable widow with a foreigner in the promised land. Now, let's pause here for just a moment and unpack this point a little bit more. Essentially, the law of God is a way for God's people to reflect Him faithfully into the world. Let me say that again. The law is a way for God's people to reflect Him into the world faithfully. And if you want to know the heart of a people and their God, you look at how they treat the most vulnerable, the poor, the sick, widows, orphans, and foreigners. God wants His people to reflect who He is by faithfully living His law, especially with the most vulnerable. Naomi and Ruth are most definitely within the category of the most vulnerable. Okay? Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So in this story, Naomi and Ruth arrive back in the promised land, and Naomi starts to guide Ruth through how the law of God cares for the most vulnerable. Now, can you sense Naomi's trust in God? Remember, we started the story with famine, but now it is the harvest. And yes, she is bitter, but who else can she turn to but God alone? And the law of God says that God's people are supposed to leave a little bit for you, Ruth. So as a foreigner, vulnerable, go behind them during the harvest and pick up what you can. Now, it just so happened that the field where Naomi had sent Ruth to glean was owned by Naomi's second closest relative within God's people. Again, within the law of God, if Ruth's husband dies, Ruth isn't supposed to be alone. She can be welcomed into her first closest relative's family. And after that first closest relative is Boaz, the second closest relative. Naomi sends Ruth out to glean from the field of Boaz, and he commands everyone to treat her well. Don't do anything bad to her. And give her some extra to take back to Naomi. Naomi recognizes that Boaz is faithfully reflecting the character of God by living according to the law. And so she instructs Ruth how to communicate that she wants to be welcomed into his family as his wife. Boaz also knows the law, which hangs on the two commandments: love God and love your neighbor, and graciously accepts. But he has to clarify that detail about the first closest relative. So the perfect love story is about to conclude, but there's one final dramatic moment. Will the first closest relative allow Boaz to marry the love of his life, or will the first closest relative take her because he has the right to do so? Boaz is obedient, trusting God first and above all things. They have the meeting. Boaz presents the situation. You have the right, and this is what it entails. The first closest relative responds, "No, I can't do that. It is too much. You go ahead, and may God bless you." Boaz and Ruth are married. They have a child. Naomi nurses the child. And this is the story, not only of Rahab the prostitute's son, Boaz, but also Boaz, the great-grandfather of King David. And if you go over to Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and then 5 through 6, we read that Rahab and Ruth are two of the women in the genealogy of God in the flesh, Christ Jesus the Lord. Matthew 1, verse 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, verses 5 through the beginning of verse 6. Solomon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, the king. Now, this is the Bible, God's word. And it is not designed to communicate information, but also to influence us as we read, contemplate, reflect upon, and allow this to inspire our imagination and new way of living together in Christ. And so in this next part of our message here this morning, I'm going to share a few examples of how I've witnessed Scripture influence the way we think and live together in Christ. The first example is kind of a fun experiment that we back in Mexico have started recently as the Christian church in the El Salvador neighborhood, Iglesia de Cristo en la Colonia El Salvador. So basically, we're brainstorming, we're prayerfully discerning how we can make some swag for our church and the neighborhood. And the real question is not about, you know, t-shirts or hats or thermos or coffee mugs. It is, how does Scripture inspire our way of thinking, our imagination in this area of life? And what is the most Christ-like way to do this? So for those who don't know, we serve in kind of a rough neighborhood. It's not crazy bad. But the kids do, you know, dress up like little gangsters when they want to look nice. You know, they get their hats on sideways and all that. One of them did bring a gun to church one time. Okay. And some would paint the picture that it is not a particularly good place. And so the question is and becomes, does your swag reflect that? Does your swag say, hell on earth, welcome to the Savior's neighborhood? Because that's what El Salvador, the neighborhood, actually means. And what does that way of thinking reveal about God, our faith in God, and our role as His church in the El Salvador or Savior's neighborhood? In other words, how do we faithfully reflect God in Christ with something as simple as swag? Well, with scripture like Acts and Ruth in mind, one of our sisters in Christ has been meditating on this, so passing it over and over again in her mind, and came up with an idea connected to a popular reggaeton song. The name of the song is Puro Licenciado. I'm not going to sing it or play it. The song is basically about somebody who's dressed up nice, formal, looks like a college graduate with a suit and tie, an engineer, a lawyer, a doctor, which is what the word, a Spanish word, licenciado, means. Pure lawyer, okay? Look, here comes the big shot. Even though, in reality, he's not all that. And then, our sister in Christ applied that same concept from that song to our neighborhood. And the result, Puro Salvador. The translation would be something like, be all you are, but be your best. Stand up straight. Pull your shoulders back. Lift your head up high. And live to your fullest God-given potential. Pure in Christ. It's a play on words. It's got a cultural reference, but it's also distinctly Christian. A second example. From right here at Garfield Christian Church. So a long time ago, a group of members of this congregation got together and made a different kind of swag. Now, probably wasn't called swag back then, by the way. But a few of you may remember this. It was a t-shirt with the title, Got Jesus. It was a play on words from a popular milk advertisement at that time, Got Milk. So you see the Cookie Monster. And it stood for Garfield Outreach Team, G-O-T. And read, Got Jesus? Now I remember who came up with the idea for that swag. And unfortunately, they're no longer here. But I also remember the sincerity with which it was thought through and lived. The good we do for others in other places, like Cranks Creek, Kentucky, can also be done here in Bean Creek, Indiana, through Garfield Christian Church. Do you have Jesus? Well, you need Jesus. And we will be the ones to help you know Jesus through our Christ-like lives. Got Jesus? Now, our third and final example of how Scripture may inspire a way of thinking and living hits even closer to home. So back in July 2022, towards the end of the global pandemic, some friends from Inglewood Christian Church here in Indianapolis and Mano de Amistad came to visit as part of an interchange of members. So they visit and live in our homes, and Christians from Saltillo come and do the same here. Tyler, Katie, and their three children stayed in our home. Katie, the mom, got COVID. And then we all got COVID. So we will always share that special connection. Now, when I was up here a few weeks ago for a small Christian convention, Everyone from the board of directors was welcomed into Katie and Tyler's home for a dinner. Katie is the new secretary, and I'm the new communications manager. And throughout the 3 days of the convention, and meetings and so forth, I noticed that she was sewing something in her free time. And so after the convention was over and I was saying goodbye, I asked her about it. And this is what Katie shared. Maria and her two sons from Guatemala were detained by ICE last fall in October. They were sent to separate facilities, Maria to a women's facility in Kentucky, and the two sons to a prison in a different state. The sons had an especially hard experience. Maria's daughter, Rachel, age 6, was at Daystar. Now, this is the daycare that Inglewood Christian Church runs. And the daughter, during that time in Indianapolis, had to stay at her dad's. He and Maria are separated. They all self-deported. Maria returned to Guatemala this spring. Daystar staff, so the daycare staff, teachers, and Inglewood friends were very supportive during this time. And Maria wrote a letter of thanks. Katie thought there was nothing more beautiful than to preserve Maria's words. So she embroidered them on 6 handkerchiefs like a work of art. Now, while Katie was embroidering the handkerchiefs, Katie's mom asked her about what she was working on. And when Katie read the letter to her mother, and said the word Guatemala, that sparked a memory in her mother's mind from a dream that she had had the night before. In Katie's mom's dream, there were 2 little girls in the neighborhood that needed help. Katie's mom didn't know what to do, so she didn't help. Then, in the next moment of her dream, she was one of the little girls. And she said she felt so scared. She told Katie, "I think God is working in me." Katie says, "My parents, for decades, have always been quite anti-immigration, and I genuinely think that this has opened my mom's heart to compassion in a new way. The community in Nebraska is primarily white, and they know very few non-white people." And so, this is an image of what Katie was working on. A piece of art where she had sewn her mother's face on a little girl with the words from that letter of thanks. Our loyalty is always to God first. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are not just admirers from afar. We are followers in his way. God wants his character to be reflected in and through us faithfully. Now, please do not get distracted by the issues of immigration or transsexuals or gangsters through these 3 examples. But instead, look closer and sense the heart of God in the center of compassion for the most vulnerable, practical love and serving our neighbors, and allow God's word to shape how we think and live here together now in Christ. So in conclusion, as the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to go forth, this gospel that has welcomed in outsiders like Rahab, Ruth, Paul, and us, we might ask, how will we now reflect God and Christ to others? With Scripture influencing our way of thinking, who will we welcome at the table of Christ's love for the world? When Garfield Christian Church extends the invitation in the name of Christ, who may join? Will all be welcomed? And how will they be treated? I believe the story of Acts and the story of Ruth encourage us to think in new, beautiful ways to faithfully reflect the character of Christ as we love God and others. It is God's will that all be saved. It is God's will that this neighborhood become a lived experience of His kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And it is God's commission that sends us out to welcome everyone in His name. Our question this morning is this: will we follow Christ like the examples of Ruth and Paul wherever He leads us? This new ministry of the fellowship dinners, saw it on the sign out front. It's on the second Wednesday of each month, which starts this next Wednesday. It may surprise, stretch, and help Garfield Christian Church grow in Christ. My prayer is not just for you and your faithfulness. My prayer is also for them, the vulnerable, the scared, the lonely, the hungry, the lost, who desperately need Christ through you. May your faithfulness glorify God in beautiful ways.